I am appreciative of the wisdom that's used by our elders here in planning our services, sometimes in maybe a little bit different manner, special way. Of course, elders do not have the right to overlook the commandment to assemble on the Lord's Day. But after we have done that, the elders do have the right to decide to add or to delete a service. And because of our youth in the area from different congregations having a special time to get together on this particular Sunday, it's thought best by our elders to have a special day with a meal today at 11:30 and a service at 12:45. But it's also thought best that we have this 6 o'clock service, especially because we know that some of you cannot easily attend at 12:45. And for one of the same reasons that we have 2 Sunday a.m. services, on occasions we have 2 Sunday p.m. services. Sometimes as we're planning this, someone will say, well, we won't have many at 6. Do you realize that there are more of us in this auditorium tonight than met this morning in over half the congregations of the church throughout the world? So I think it is good for us to have this service. Now, I'm aware of the fact that tonight in the Super Bowl that it cost $1.2 million, I think, to have a 30-second commercial. And that proves that you don't have to be long to be important. And I'm sure you would like for me to remember that this evening, wouldn't you? At 12:45 this afternoon, Brother David Leip spoke and used a passage in 2 Timothy 2. And because we normally have the same text and the same message in the 2 morning services, I decided we'd just do the same thing today in the 2 p.m. services. I'd like for you to turn to 2 Timothy 2 for just a moment. And I simply want us to look at 3 verses and notice some important concepts that are taught in those 3 verses. Verses 3, 4, and 5 of 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Think with me for just a few minutes about the idea of being a good soldier for Christ. First, it is important for each one of us to know on whose side he is fighting. I would not want to be on a battlefield, nor would you, with people to my right or to my left who did really in no way know the cause for which they were fighting or whose side they were on. One of my favorite little stories, and most of you have heard it, is about something that happened during the Civil War. The story is told that some of the Northern soldiers came through a section down in the South and were marching down the road, and there was a lady at home at the farmhouse. She went and got her broom and went down to the road and started beating on those Northern soldiers as they were going by. And somebody said, don't you know that you can't do any damage with that broom? She said, at least I can let them know whose side I'm on. If we're not on the Lord's side, we're on the other side. In the battle that we're talking about, it's not like the country of Korea. Most of you are aware that there's a North Korea and a South Korea, and then there's a section in between that I guess some of us at least have called no man's land. And I think in too many instances there are people today who want to be in that no man's land. They do not want to be for something or against anything. Almost like the fellow that said, I'm not staying here and I'm not going anywhere else. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that soweth not for me scattereth abroad. When the question is asked over in Amos 4:12, about God and our relationship to Him, and then the statement is made, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Amos is really saying, you need to be sure that you know that you're on God's side, and if you're not, you'd better size up your enemy and realize what God will be as an enemy. A good soldier first knows the side that he's on. And then notice in verse 3 the word endure. I would not want a soldier in my army who was ready to quit. You don't want one who goes AWOL literally or who goes that way figuratively on the job. One that will endure. When I first look at that word endure, I think about time. And usually in our country, when someone is enlisted in the army or some part of our armed forces, he enlists for a certain period of time. Maybe there's a period of time that's required. And we realize that one has to put that time into his service and endure. The Bible teaches us to endure to the end, Matthew 10, verse 22. We cannot give up. We cannot quit. The good soldier doesn't say 2 or 3 weeks before time for him to get out of the army, well, it's almost time for me to quit. I'm going to just do nothing, or I'm going to slow down and do very little for the next few days. But he may go right on up to the very time that he is discharged from his service. And that's the way it ought to be in our relationship to Christ. We will not be discharged from our service on this earth until death comes or the Lord returns, whichever happens first. And so a good soldier endures. There's another idea associated with that word endure, especially when you put the word hardness with it. There's more involved than just time. He says that a good soldier is one who endures hardness. He endures hard times, difficult times. Some of you that are in the audience tonight, especially some of you that are a bit older than I, understand this better than I do, because I know of some of you who were in the armed services even during some of the wars that have been a part of our nation's history. You understand better than I do, better than most of us do, what it means to endure hardness, hardship, difficulties. I've read Brother Charles Cox's book that he's written in the last few years about his memories of the time that he was in the war zone. And I realize that I do not understand because I was not there, but I think I understand at least to a degree. There was the need of enduring hardness, and sometimes the best effort was put forth when the most difficult time existed, most difficult situation confronted those soldiers. Perhaps that's the way it ought to be for us as we're on the battlefield for Christ. And I think we would agree, if we'd be honest with ourselves, that sometimes we do our best work when we have our most difficult situations. Maybe we really shine for Christ when we have our trials and tribulations in life. And a good soldier is going to be one who will endure hardship. And then in the fourth verse, he says, a good soldier is one who entangleth himself or does not entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. It must be difficult to be on a foreign field away from one's family, one's business, one's friends. But you know, in order to be a good soldier, especially at certain times, a person has almost got to put everything else out of his mind and not let anything entangle his thinking if he's going to win the battle. And there are ways in which that is true with us as far as our relationship to Christ is concerned. He at least tells us that we're to put him first, and we're not to let the other things in this life hold us back from giving our best to the Lord. Sometimes a person will entangle himself with a friend or let his family come before the Lord, or his business endeavor, or his recreation, or the list goes on and on. He says the one who is a good soldier doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life. At the same opening in my Bible, I have the last chapter of 1 Timothy. And the 12th verse of that chapter is talking about the concept of the soldier, fight the good fight of faith. But back in the verse just before that, he says, flee these things. And he's having reference to things that tend to be immoral and ungodly and unrighteous. And he says we've got to flee, though. You can't entangle yourself. Why do we have all the training that goes on in the basic camps and so forth for a soldier? It's so that he can get himself ready physically and mentally and emotionally to not be entangled with other things, so that when he goes on the battlefield, he's ready. Do you think sometimes maybe we allow ourselves to be entangled with those affairs of life? I wonder sometimes, and I wrestle with this just like you do, if even when we come to a service like this, if there's not a tendency for us to be thinking about what we did before, what we plan to do after, instead of really putting our minds to the worship of God. And then notice later in that verse, he says that a good soldier is one who's going to please the one who is the leader. Please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The soldier may not especially like the orders, but if he's a good soldier, he's going to try to carry out those orders of his sergeant or his captain or whoever's above him. Jesus is our captain as far as the work of the church and Christianity is concerned. And we need to be concerned about pleasing him. That would cast a whole new light on the interpretation of the Scripture and the application of the Scripture. I'm persuaded that many of the errors that are taught today, believed and taught, are because people go to the Bible with the idea of what do I like, what's going to please me, instead of what did God say and what's going to please him. A good soldier is one who pleases his leader. And then verse 5 says a good soldier is one who will strive. I watch some of these movies sometimes on television that include the battles out in the swamps and things like that. And I just sit there and watch as some of those soldiers literally on their stomachs on the ground crawling through mud and just going on and on and on, some of them until they literally die. And I think about whether or not we're willing to have that same attitude when it comes to the cause of Jesus Christ. Not just to be in the army, but he said a good soldier is one who will strive. And if you'll notice later in that verse, he says not only will he strive, but he'll strive lawfully. He realizes that there are some rules. For some reason or other today in religion, people seem to hate rules. We understand it on the ball field. We understand it in the armed forces. In fact, there are some rules that when broken, one can be dishonorably discharged. Been some rules down through the years that one could even be put to death for breaking certain rules in the army. We're to strive lawfully. Not enough just to put forth the effort, but to put forth the effort in the wrong way. I don't remember who it was, what team, but there was a team back some time ago that one of the backs caught the ball and was turned around and ran to the wrong goal. He ran all the way across the goal, but he scored for the other team because he was going in the wrong direction. We must strive. We must put forth the effort. But we must put forth the effort in the right direction. We must strive lawfully. So in this passage, as he describes a good soldier, he says we need to know exactly whose army it is in which we're fighting. We need to endure, keep on, never give up. We need to endure even against difficult times. We need to be sure that we do not entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. We need to please the leader. We need to strive effort, and we need to put that effort in the right direction to strive lawfully. But I want to close by emphasizing another word that's in verse 4, and that's the word warreth. No man that warreth. We don't easily think about Christianity as being something that's involved in a war. We have a tendency to hate the concept of war because we like to think about peace. And certainly Christ is described as peace, and we're to have an element of peace, and we're to be peacemakers. But there are also verses that say that Christ did not come to bring peace. And there is the concept of war involved with Christianity. It may be sometimes, folks, that we are not as militant as we ought to be. I'm not talking about breaking the law of the land. I'm not talking necessarily about getting out and having some march up and down the street. But I'm talking about warring for the souls of men. And perhaps we need to come to realize that we are in a war. We are against the devil and his forces. And there will never be a time, as long as this earth exists, that war will not exist. And I'm not talking about wars like those that may be going on between nations in some parts of the world today. I'm talking about the war between Christ and the devil. That battle, perhaps referred to as the Battle of Armageddon in a figurative way, started back in the Garden of Eden. It was fought when Jesus was tempted. It has been fought and continues to be fought as the soldiers of Christ arise to fight against the devil and his soldiers. And that's war. We ought to be at war with the devil as good soldiers of Christ. Perhaps the question that needs to be asked tonight is, have you enlisted? Or if you have enlisted, perhaps another question could be asked, have you gone AWOL? If you have not enlisted, there is not a mandatory enlistment. God lets you make the decision. But there is a mandatory enlistment if you're going to heaven. And if you have enlisted, you don't even have to stay. It's not mandatory that you stay in the Army. You can go to AWOL, but you can't go AWOL and have the honor at the end of having the relationship with God and living with Him in heaven. If you haven't enlisted in the Lord's Army, we would encourage you to become a part of that Army tonight. Obey the gospel and let Him add you to the list. You have enlisted and you've gone AWOL, come back. He will forgive, and you can once again serve in His army. If you are not serving in the Lord's army in war against the devil, perhaps you need to come as together we stand and sing.
There's a fountain breathing for you and me. Let us take no haste to its spring. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis the fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam. From the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll at the weary soul, hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis the fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft and
and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis the fountain open for all.
Be seated, please.
Just a moment, we'll ask Brother Wilcox and one of our elders to lead us in prayer on behalf of Jeff Bissonette. He says, I've come forward before the church to make this confession to ask for your prayers. Since I've been attending FHU, I've realized what a big step this has been. It's been a big struggle for me, particularly because I'm an older student. I've sinned many times because of the pressure, been very judgmental toward other people. I ask for your prayers and for God's forgiveness. I want folks to continually see Jesus in me as I prepare to serve him full time. Jeff, we appreciate your attitude, and we appreciate the fact that we can go to our Heavenly Father in prayer.
Our Father, as we come into thy holy presence on this occasion, we come in behalf of Jeff, a child of thine, a brother of ours. And we pray thy blessings upon him as he looks at his life, as he is willing to turn from those things which are contrary to thy will in his life. We realize, Heavenly Father, tonight that there's joy in heaven. There should be joy in our hearts. We pray, Heavenly Father, that there's joy in Jeff's heart as he returns to the fold. May he become a good soldier in thy cause. May he fight long. May there be victory for him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Brian Clifford will come and lead us in a closing prayer in just a moment. Let me mention that there are some copies of the schedule for the lectureship. These copies are here on the stage. Of course, the lectureship begins next Sunday. We will have all of our regular services next Sunday, including the 6 o'clock service, and then there will be the first lecture, I believe, is at 7:30 over at the school next Sunday night. Our next service here will be at 5:45 on Wednesday night. We're just glad you're here and hope that you'll be here at every service that you can. Let us stand now as we're dismissed.
Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for another opportunity that we have to come together with other Christians, to sing praises to you and to hear a lesson from your word, to learn more about you, Father. We're mindful again of two who are really on our minds right now, Lona Simpson, the sister of Buddy Parsons, and Diane Phillips, Don Lazier's sister. We pray your grace and mercy upon them and on their families. May you be of comfort to them at this time. Father, we're also thankful for Jeff for his response. May we be good influences on him. We pray now as we leave that we'll all be good soldiers in Christ's army and that you'll be with us until we return again. In Christ's name, amen.